Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1125. Page 1125. Just to set the context for this reading, this is a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. He has been raised from the dead. We see that there were reports of the women who went to the grave that morning and found that the tomb was empty. They went and told the disciples, the apostles, but they did not believe them. And so see here now two of the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and they're sad, they're dejected, because they thought that Jesus was the one, and now are discouraged to believe that in fact he was not what they expected. And so we pick up actually one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. When they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' They rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. An amazing story indeed. Today we're going to look at the resurrection appearances of Jesus as we continue to celebrate this event. And as we consider these records, these accounts, I want to be asking ourselves if we believe that Jesus is alive? Have we ever seen him? Have we ever seen Jesus? So let's look at these accounts that are given to us in Scripture. First, we look at Matthew's Gospel, which tells us that two women, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, probably the mother of Joseph or Joseph, they were the first to see the resurrected Jesus. Mark's Gospel tells us that Salome was also with them. They went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with spices and wondered who would roll away the large stone that secured the entrance to the tomb. But when they arrived, they found out not only had the stone been rolled away, but in fact, the tomb was empty. John tells us that when Mary Magdalene stayed weeping outside, she met a man. She thought he was the gardener. But when he called her name, Mary, she recognized that in fact it was Jesus. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us that all 11 apostles also saw the resurrected Christ. Matthew 28 tells us, quote, they worshiped him, but some doubted. What an amazing statement. Some worshiped him and acknowledged, but some still doubted. Why would that be? Mark 16 tells us that Jesus, in fact, rebuked them for their unbelief, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. In Luke 24, Jesus asked them, why do doubts arise in your hearts? They've just found it hard to believe. John 20 tells us that Thomas refused to believe, was adamant, I'm not going to believe unless I can place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side. Our reading from Luke 24 that we just heard, the account of the two disciples encountering Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel, but their hopes were now dashed to pieces, and they were sad. They did not believe the women either, and so Jesus also rebuked them, saying, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. At first, they were kept from recognizing him. But then, we're told, he became known to them in the breaking of the bread. I'm always amazed to read commentaries about this account where commentators will say, well, this has nothing to do with Holy Communion, by the way. When in fact, in Holy Communion, which we celebrate and believe, you know, we're told the bread that we break is a participation in the body of Christ. The cup of thanksgiving that we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. The commentators just by necessity have to say, well, this has nothing to do with communion. And yet what happens is when they gather together and he breaks bread, gives thanks, gives it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then we heard in our reading from Acts chapter 9, the account of Saul, who became later Paul, who encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. He fell to the ground, or was knocked to the ground, and he heard a voice from heaven. Paul did not know who it was until the voice said to him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And so we see that the women, the 11 apostles, the two disciples, and Paul all had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. Paul tells us elsewhere that at one point over 500 people witnessed the risen Jesus. We're told that by Peter that Jesus did not appear to everyone. They often wonder the impact if he had gone back to the Sanhedrin and said, hey guys, here I am. But he didn't. He didn't. He did not appear to everyone. He only appeared to those whom he had chosen, those whom he had elected. Well, all of these encounters, I believe, have several things in common. First, none of them expected to see the risen Christ. None of them expected to see it. Despite his repeated promises three times in the Gospels, he told them that he would be raised from the dead. Despite that, they still just could not believe the reports of his resurrection, either by the angels or by the women. I was listening to a good teaching on this by N.T. Wright, who's actually a bishop in the Anglican Church, Church of England. And I'm not always been an N.T. Wright fan, but this was a really good teaching that he gave about the resurrection and why the disciples maybe were so reluctant to believe. Because the philosophy of Plato was very prevalent throughout that time. But it was a philosophy of belief that there was life after death, that in fact the body was evil, material was evil, and we waited to be liberated, to be set free from this material body, that we would be free and our spirits would be free. And so what was the obstacle for the disciples was talk of a bodily resurrection, which was so much contrast to the teachings of Plato at that time, a bodily resurrection that had the same marks on his hands, but was also transformed. And so they did not believe, they could not believe, and they did not expect at all to encounter him, but they did. A second thing I think that they had in common was that when they saw him, they did not see him. When they saw him, they did not see him. They didn't know who it was. Mary thought he was the gardener of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as we heard. He was walking with them and talking with them, and it says they were kept from recognizing him. Where others thought that he was a ghost and he was a spirit, and he had to say to the disciples, "Give me something to eat. Let me prove to you that this body is real." Despite having walked through a wall because the doors were closed at that time, I'm going to let that one go. How do we explain that? You can walk through walls, but yet also eat food. You know, who knows? But it's an amazing body that we will have, this resurrected body that we all look forward to. So they did not see him, did not recognize him at first, which is kind of an amazing thing. A third thing I think was in common was that there was something that triggered their recognition. Either he called their name, or he ate some food to prove that he was real, or he showed them his hands and his side, as with Thomas, or he broke the bread, as with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, or as with Paul, he knocked them to the ground to get their attention. Interesting to look back and think of our own experience of the risen Christ, and what we would have is to have him call our name, to have him some way have to prove himself to us as Thomas did, or in the breaking of the bread, how much we have an expectation of encountering the risen Christ in the sacrament of the body and the blood. And so what did we see consistent? We saw doubts, we saw closed eyes, we saw hardened hearts. They simply could not believe, even though he was standing right in front of them. These were the obstacles. These are the same obstacles that we have today. Doubts, closed eyes, hardened hearts. And so I ask each of us today, have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever seen Jesus? I know some people who have seen Jesus, not a lot, but a few. Just recently, someone was sharing with me an experience that they had years ago. And you know, even after all these years, the person made a comment, you know, I've not told this to anyone else, maybe one other person, because they thought that people would think they were crazy. Isn't that an amazing thing to say, I had an encounter with the risen Jesus, and I'm afraid to tell people in the rest of the church because they're going to think I'm crazy. That's the world of skepticism we live in, isn't it? And the church of doubts, the church of closed eyes, the church of, in a sense, hardened hearts. So there are some people, and I believe them, who have encountered the risen Jesus, and they knew it was Jesus immediately. But I believe there are many, many more who have seen Jesus or encountered Jesus and didn't know it. Jesus may be sitting right next to you at this very moment. I see people look at one another like, he might be in our midst. Jesus may have been the carpet lady we saw walking alongside the road this morning. That might have been Jesus. It might have been Jesus who called your name just yesterday. Did you hear it? Were we too busy? Too much cluttered by the noise of the world to hear him call the name? What if we all started treating one another as with he or she were Jesus? How wonderful the world would be to see Jesus in one another. One of my favorite songs, going back to Curcio days, I haven't been able to find a good copy of it, was "Have You Seen Jesus My Lord?" It just says, "Have you seen Jesus my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes, and he will show life to you." The scriptures tell us that in him we live and move and have our being. He is closer than the next breath. And yet, for much of the church, we simply cannot see because of our doubts, because of the obstacles, because of our closed eyes. But what if we all started treating one another as if he or she was Jesus? What if we started treating one another as if they were looking to us to see Jesus? What if we could be Jesus to those who are around us? How much the world needs Jesus today. Remember the story of the little girl who had trouble sleeping at night because she was afraid of the dark. So she's crying for mommy and daddy, and daddy goes in and says, "Oh, honey, what's the matter?" She says, "Oh, I'm afraid of the dark." He said, "Well, honey, you don't need to be afraid of the dark. You know that Jesus is with you." She says, "Oh, yes, Daddy, I know Jesus is with me. But right now, I need somebody with skin." You know what the world needs today? Jesus with skin. You know who that is? It's supposed to be us. It's supposed to be us. Do we really believe the scriptures? Remember how Jesus rebuked them for not believing the scriptures. Do we believe the scriptures that say to us, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me"? Do you realize the ramifications of that statement? Do you realize that every time we're receiving the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, Christ says, "Those who receive and eat my bread and drink my blood abide in me, and I abide in them"? Do we believe that? I pray that God gives us that faith to truly believe, to truly see Christ in us, and to see Christ in other people. But there's a third application. Not only for us to see Christ in others, not only for others to see Christ in us, but for us to see Christ in us. To know how precious we are. Jesus does not live in a junkyard. Jesus lives in a palace, a temple, a mansion, prepared for his glory. That is who we are. That is what we are. The very embodiment of the risen Jesus Christ. Do you realize what that statement means? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so our message today, threefold. Do we see Jesus in those around us? Do we expect others to see Jesus in us? And do we see Jesus in ourselves? What a wonderful world it would be. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God, it's here. It's among us. It is within us. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's alive. And he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So what does that mean? It means the best is truly yet to come. It just gets better and better and better. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?
those who never have had the experience, and for those who have and don't really get it. Lord God, in the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of blood, may we embrace your presence in us as you come within us in that special way. Again and again, may we embrace it with the knowledge of who you are and what you've done and what you've given us. And that we don't walk away from an altar in a moment and it's over and done with, but that your presence is in us and it goes with us and dwells in us. And yes, Lord, by your grace, make it so evident to those who need us that they are looking at Jesus with skin. Holy One, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, body, mind, soul, spirit, body, every bit of us, Lord, we thank you. And we are so, so grateful. In your sweet name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.